welcome to Marooned at MacBytes Headquarters, day 413. How are we all doing? Mike's not had the best of days, have you, Mike? Do you want to apprise
everybody?
Well,
I've not had a bad day.
Well, true.
We could have got battered 5-0.
Yeah, it could have been much worse in terms of the score. Mm, sadly, not in terms of anything else. Simon's first in. Oh, how fabulous, Simon. Hello, Jonathan. Hello, Deb. Hello, Renee. How did you get in so early? Jonathan's been refreshing since 10 to 7. Jonathan needs an inside trick, doesn't he? Voodoo. Oh, Simon. You know what did it, Jonathan? Cows. He was chased in by cows. Did my opener on my Windows machine must have been left open. No, I think Mike did open it very late, but, you know, maybe you hadn't refreshed. Hello, Paul. Good morning to you. Has Mike been out protesting? No, he hasn't. Have you, Mike?
No.
Oh, we'll tell you all about that. Oh, Jonathan's been on a walk, a small walk.
I better let me mother know.
What, that you're all right and you're not been arrested?
Yeah.
Tell her she's no need to send a cake with a file in it. Oh, love it. Right, let's have a look at Jonathan's walk. Oh, I need to see Jonathan's walk. Okay, that's working all right. Right, Jonathan's walk. This is going to be an almighty walk. Jonathan, 11.13 kilometres. Good grief. Where are you there? Right in Lane, South Overlane, Rivington Pike. Oh, good grief. And look at that green bit there. Were you on a run at that point? Did you enjoy it? Did you enjoy it? Did you get some good pickies? Hello, Kim. Oh, Kim loved the data merge in Publisher. Glad you enjoyed it. D's on time. Hello, D.
But you don't get that at the rugby.
Don't get what?
Protests.
Probably not.
Storming the dressing room.
I thought you were going to say Storming Norman then. Oh, pickies, pickies. I've got Jonathan's pickies. They are great pickies. They are great. Oh, I'm loving that one. What amazing clouds you've got. What's that little building there? No, it doesn't say where it is. But I'm liking that, Jonathan. I am liking that. Oh, there's Winter Hill. You've got to be careful up there. They keep setting fire to it. Oh, what's that one there? Something on your journey. Don't forget to turn around and enjoy the view. Oh, I'm liking that. These are great, Jonathan. Great photos. Very impressed. Simon was in first legally and illegally. Double win. Simon, if it makes you happy. There you go. It makes you happy. You do realise poor Jonathan's going to fall asleep by 10 past, don't you? After all that walking. No protest in the rugby, but Leinster got kicked out of the Champions Cup today. Oh, no.
Got kicked out? What for?
I think that would be beaten rather than, you know, kicked out in the United sense of the word. If you've no idea what's going on, Mike's going to apprise you. Where you go, Mike?
In 2005... This sounds like a Neil story. In 2005, the Glazers took over United and have saddled us with a £1 billion debt. And so the United fans decided to have a protest today.
This wouldn't have happened, but for the Super League thing a couple of weeks ago. Then.
No, that's brought it to a head.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was a protest last week at Old Trafford, a few hundred turned up, but this was a big organised one with 10,000 people, and it got a little bit out of hand.
How did you be expected?
So a few people broke down the doors and got into the stadium and got onto the pitch and possibly got in the dressing room, which makes it COVID insecure. And so the powers that be decided to postpone the match that was due to take place at 4:30 between United and Liverpool.
Obviously, I was completely oblivious to this because Mike was watching it while I was doing the YouTubes. Let's get a picky. In fact, I think the one from Sky's better because we know somebody who's on the Sky one, don't we?
Who are the Glazers? The Glazers are the family, an American family, who now own United. They bought the club in 2005. Forcibly bought our shares from us.
Yep.
Yes. You know what I do with my money?
Oh.
Got a tooth fixed.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so they actually own in America. It's not Buccaneers. What's the Buccaneers
Tampa
team?
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
They own Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And basically the thing that United fans have against it is that before they bought the club, United had loads of money. They were dead rich, the richest club in the world, and the Glazers, instead of sinking their own money into it, have done what's called a leveraged buyout or something, which basically means taking the United's money and buying the club with his own money.
I don't know that that's legal.
I don't know how it works. I'm not a finance person.
No, I'm not a finance person. That's why.
Yeah.
Keep it simple. If you've not got enough cash on hand to buy the new iPad, don't buy it.
Yeah. Yeah, could we do that with Apple Kids?
Oh, that's an idea.
Yeah, get Timmy to do a leverage buyout.
Yeah.
And saddle Apple with $1 billion of debt.
That'd work.
Yeah. So yeah, it is Tampa Bay, isn't it? So, yeah, that's the issue. And although United have actually bought some players over the past 16 years, on the whole, they've been second-rate players. When you look at the money that City have invested in players and the stadium, because that's another thing, Old Trafford's crumbling. You know, when Tottenham have just spent whatever they've spent on a new stadium, Old Trafford's actually crumbling. Where our tickets are, the roof leaks. Mind you, it has done.
The roof leaks as long as I've been there.
For years.
The roof was leaking, Mike, when I went when I was 13 years old. The roof leaks because they cut a hole in it. So, they cut a hole in the roof.
Johnny, what are your brother's football snacks?
I see, with Mike it's an omelette.
I was just going to tell that story.
They already know that. You've already told them. Can I tell them about the roof? Why there's a hole in the roof?
No.
That's mean. They need to know why there's a hole in the roof.
Why is there a hole in the roof?
Oh, for God's sake, Mike, you remember. When Old Trafford was first built, there was no such thing as covered stadiums. So the pitch was fine. But once they started building cantilever roofs on the darn things, it got no light, got no sunlight. So the grass was dying. So they cut an almighty hole in the roof and put plastic sheeting over it, which was transparent. Trouble was, it's leaked ever since, and you're not allowed to take an umbrella in. It's illegal. But they do give you plastic bags if it's really bad. You can actually, like a bin bag, only transparent, you put it over your head.
So, Johnny's brother eats Refles. If he doesn't eat them, United don't win.
If Mike doesn't go into the studio, then they won't score six.
Or go to the toilet.
Hello, Tony. How are you doing?
Tony, shouldn't you be watching Tottenham? Or is their game being postponed? Oh, it doesn't kick off for 5 minutes, does it?
Oh, you see. I'm trying to do a refresh here because I've got an order coming.
And what's that song? I want a riot or something.
I predict a riot. Well, I pretty much told you that, Adam. You must admit, I did. Anyway, if you look at that link I've put in, the one to Sky News, and you can see in the first picky is a video. So forget that one, the one right at the top. But the next one down, that's the team bus. Not only did they storm Old Trafford, but these fans have also gone to a hotel called the Lowry, where the players stay the night before the game. And they rioted outside there as well, so they couldn't actually get on the bus, which you can see all the smoke around the bus. Those cones are doing really well.
Old Trafford's not that far from the Lowry. They could have walked.
I've walked it there from the Lowry.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they definitely could have walked. If you carry on down the page, you come to one where there's a guy in a red jacket on the pitch, and he's got, like, some smoke thing with him, and it's got yellow smoke and green smoke coming out of it. Yellow and green were United's colours when they were very first formed in 1878 as Newton Heath Locos. So they used to wear green and yellow. If you move down to the next photo...
Who said the green and yellow's unlucky?
Exactly. Move down to the next one where they're in the stands, and I'm pretty sure that's not far from our seats, is it?
No.
No, they're not touching it. Then you've got that they can buy our club, but you can't buy our heart and soul. But if you get down to the next one... That's one of our mates, isn't it?
Yeah.
He'll need you to look after his page again when he's locked up, you know.
I'm going to WhatsApp him.
Oh, tell him he's a star. That is the guy who did, if you watched it, read the poems. So he might be protesting outside Old Trafford and stuff, but he actually wrote two poems about the Busby Babes. But he does have a bit of a history of run-ins with the police, doesn't he? And that looks like another one. And as you go down, one is outside the merchandising office, which used to be the souvenir shop. That is actually the forecourt. So if you've ever seen Old Trafford, Old Trafford is to the right of that. And you can see how many police they've got out there. What else have we got? Oh, and they broke in and they actually broke the doors down. So, yeah, that was a good afternoon's of entertainment and sport, wasn't it, Mike? That's not really the essence of our club. We hope you know that. What do they say? It's the minority. But I can understand why they're peeved. There you go. Do we agree with the pitch invasion or not? No, I can't agree with that, Tony. No way. No way would I ever agree with that. I think they were naive, the ones who were orchestrating this protest, to say they were sending out things with, you know, keep it calm. It's a peaceful protest. It will never end as a peaceful protest because United have to pitch their response just right. They daren't go in all guns blazing with the armed police. They just daren't. It would then be, well, we were goaded. But they have to have enough police there so nobody gets hurt. And I have to feel for the staff that were inside the stadium, because the pictures that are there on that Sky News story is only half the story. They haven't got any pictures on there, I don't know why not, of what was going on inside, not on the pitch, but actually inside the suites that they have. Did the BBC have any of those?
I posted on his wall and said that he's the poster boy of the protests.
He is. There aren't any there, because that's going to the sports page. Where did you have those photos, Mike, of the inside where there were smoke bombs going off? Because on a match day, even when there is no crowd there, you know, you have to have staff doing whatever jobs they're doing. So there will still be some degree of hospitality required in the main suites. And they will be mainly, and I know this is fairly sexist, but it's true, they'll mainly be women. And they were breaking into these suites. The women must have been terrified. You can't condone that ever, no matter what the circumstances. Oh, but it'll rumble on, because now they'll have to find some other way to play the game. What can you do? The minority always ruins it for the rest of us. Totally agree, Kim.
Oh, he's giving me a like.
I knew he would. Hello, Tracy. Yeah, I find it depressing. There was a picture on the homepage of the BBC. I'll try and get a copy of it, but it wouldn't let me save it. But I can draw around it and take a picky that way. And to me, it's like the two Uniteds in this picture. It's the cloud app. There's the protesters who are ostensibly protesting against the Glazers. But that doesn't mean that they actually are, if you're with me. They've not been able to see their team play for nearly 15 months. And they just want to meet up and basically have a party or a riot, depending on how you look at it. But the other side, just behind all the smoke, let me get this link in. Just behind all the smoke, you can see the Munich Tunnel. And that's the history of United. And the two just don't go together. Can't be doing with it.
Oh, the camera's offline again. I'll use the
which
little...
Which one is it?
This one.
Okay. Yeah. I'll know when they're nearby. They're not nearby yet. Okay. He's in Urmston at the minute. He's still one step away, but he's in Urmston. He's on Granville Road. Isn't that near where that what's it was? That the club that you go for your meetings? Could there be. You go. It's back on again. Oh. I think it went off last night and I forgot. Ooh, well, I wonder how he's going to get here. I think he'll get back on the M60. Because otherwise he's going to have to swim across the canal. So he could well be another 15, 20 minutes yet. But I'll keep my eye on him. He won't escape.
Could have been out with the dog and back by
now. The Glazers in town? I don't think the Glazers are ever in town, to be honest, Kim. There was once about 12 years ago, they all came. There was Malcolm Glazer, who was the dad. And has he got three boys?
Yeah.
And his three sons. And that was really dangerous. They had police all over the place, petrified. So actually, I think the Glazers are in the States. I don't think they've been to Old Trafford in years.
Don't know.
Because if they had, we'd have heard about it. They wouldn't dare turn up. But they won't leave either, which is so annoying. They won't just say, do you know what, it's not worth it, and go away. The club should go back to what it was before. Before, it was a public limited company, so the fans owned the shares. But it was a leveraged, forced buyout, and you couldn't do anything about it. So this will rumble on now. This wouldn't have happened today, but for the thing last week with the Super League, because I don't think anybody would have thought it was worth doing the old Glazers out thing again, because we've been doing it for 16 years and they're still there. Malcolm Glazer died, oh, that was quite a while ago now, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe 6-8 years ago. But the sons are still there, grasping as ever. But they're not interested in football. So why own the club? It's more of a status thing than it is interested in football. At least with somebody like Abramovich when he brought Chelsea. And has he ever been allowed back in the country?
I'm not sure.
No, I'm not. They threw him out because obviously he's Russian.
He had a visa problem, didn't he?
He had a visa problem. They won't give him a new visa. But, you know, considering he'd invested in the thing. But he does actually watch the games when he can. You know, he is interested in Chelsea as a club. The Glazers have never been interested in United as a club, ever. And that's what the fans have against it, because they live and breathe United, as you can see. Granville open all hours. I love open all hours. You didn't think the Glazers should be allowed to buy the club. There's nothing that we could do to stop them. If there was something we could have done to stop them, we would have done. Before the Glazers, all this harks back. I don't know if anybody knows the full story. But when it was a public limited company, obviously Mike and I had a few shares, but nothing by comparison to other people. And some of the big shareholders were big shareholders. And together, you know, they could do a block vote. And they would basically control the club. One of them was two guys from Ireland who were horse breeders and trainers and whatever. And they gifted...
You might know them. Magnier and McManus.
Magnier and McManus, there you go. And they gifted a horse to Alex Ferguson. What was the horse called?
Rock of Gibraltar.
Oh, that's right, Rock of Gibraltar. And this horse was winning races and stuff. And they had gifted. Now, when you say gifted a horse, they didn't wrap it up and drop it off at his house, obviously.
Yeah, like I didn't do that with May for your birthday.
No, we did try that, but he had the box. But, you know, when you say gifted a horse, that basically they gave him like a right to the winnings from this horse. Anyway, the horse was doing reasonably well. Were the Glazers born or ever lived in the UK? No, no, they didn't, Kim. They're yours. Can you please take them back and keep them there? But this horse thing, it rumbled on for years. And whenever the Rock of Gibraltar was running, you know, all the United fans were putting money on Rock of Gibraltar. But the problem was the horse then retired and went to stud. Now, at that point, what had they actually gifted him? Was it a percentage of the winnings when the horse was running, or was it a percentage of the horse, like Alex Ferguson owned
the
two back legs and the tail? Yeah. Well, it kicked off between them. Alex Ferguson said if he owned the horse, he was due the stud rights. And they said, well, we gifted you the horse, you know, it was a gift, a part ownership of the horse was a gift, but it didn't include the stud rights. Now, I think if somebody says to you, I've gifted you this horse, you should be grateful for whatever they want to gift you and not stand there and demand the stud rights from it, because it was never your horse in the first place. They gifted it to you. That's like having a child come to visit and your child saying, do you want to play with this toy? While you're here, you're not taking the toy home with you. You know, it's to play with while you're here. So the gift was that he had a vested interest when he went to the races in this particular horse. But I personally don't think that automatically entitled you to stud rights. But there was a lot of money involved in the stud rights. Anyway, he took them to court. It did not end well.
Bad words were said.
Oh, there were many bad words said. And what these two guys did was they sold their shares. And that meant all bets were off in terms of how the club was run. And I will never forgive him for that. That was what started all this. The next saga was, with all these shares available, BSkyB wanted to own it. So that was Rupert Murdoch. And you know what Rupert Murdoch's like? what Rupert Murdoch wants, Rupert Murdoch gets. So this was a foregone conclusion. He had done absolutely everything in terms of he was up the backside of the government. He had Tony Blair on side, and the United fans were like, no, we do not want him to buy the club. Because again, he's not interested in the club. It's just like to milk the cow. So there was all sorts went on. There was protests, there was online stuff. Mike and I were involved in that because it wasn't a protest like this. It was peaceful. It was like, we don't want you to buy our club. And it came down to this government investigation into it. And it was a foregone conclusion that they would say yes. Luckily, Peter Mandelson got in trouble just before this decision needed to be made. And Peter Mandelson had to stand aside. So at least one of the knobbled ones had to stand aside. And I said, you know, we stand quite a chance here. But Mike and the others were saying, like, no, it'll go through. It's bound to go through. And I remember the day it was announced, it was something like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I was sat outside Macro with Mum, just about to go in. And I said, can I just listen to the news at 2 o'clock? So, you know, it's going to be announced. And they announced it and said, you know, deal's off. It's like, yes, we did it. But, you know, you get sick of fighting for your club. You do. It's like, can all you leeches just go away? But we beat it once. We did not beat it with the Glazers. Couldn't get rid of them. Right. Let's have a look. You're quiet. You don't know anything about foot soccer. Oh, I love that. Foot soccer. The thing is, with football, there's the love of the game and there's understanding the game and loving the game. And all of this is periphery to it. This is just money. This is just purely money. I'm with you guys. Anthony makes a point. Could have said, OK, then you can pay all the stabling and vets fees. That's what I thought, that a gift is a gift. So when he went to the races, you know, oh, that's my horse. I co-own that horse. But to be so grasping that, oh, well, that gift, well, I want more. I want the stud rights as well. I just thought, really? Get a grip of yourself, man. But that was the point that destabilised the ownership of the club. So that was when we had
big problems. If you pardon the pun.
Yes. It did destabilise the club, didn't it?
Yeah.
And we're still suffering from that today. So hopefully Alex Ferguson was inside the club, being worried that people would get near him because he's wearing his mask, you see. He's about 407 now, isn't he? Oh, Tony's on his soapbox. Excellent, Tony. While you're on your soapbox, Richard Branson refused to open the hotel. He wanted more money from the government. Abramovich said he'd cover the costs of hotels a second and third lockdown. Crying out like, you know, I've no time for Richard Branson. There was the first thing. Don't forget, he opened up his hotels on the first lockdown for all the NHS staff. He was first to do that, wasn't he? And he was followed by the ones who own Hotel Football, which, as far as I know, is still Giggs and Neville, isn't it?
Sarah's going to binge watch Line of Duty.
Oh, do it. Do it, do it, do it. It's going to be a late one. Okay, enjoy it. Enjoy it. Yeah, they opened up for the NHS as well, which, you know, that's great. United did do quite a bit, didn't they, in terms of, you know, like flag waving, but that was probably about it. They did take out food, didn't they?
Yeah.
But I think that was organised by the people in the UK. That's got nothing to do with who owns it. They really need to be better advised. But that I don't think there's anything they can do now that they would ever be accepted now. They just wouldn't. But Richard Branson just, oh, he gets on my nerves. He came out many years ago and said, and I know there's two sides to this, but it rattled my cage, and said, he was giving priority for jobs to ex-offenders. And I'm like, well, okay, you know, if they've got a job, then they're maybe less likely to re-offend. But that's discrimination. If you're giving preference to anybody based on gender, race, culture, fact you've been inside, that is prejudice in itself. They certainly shouldn't not get a job because they've been inside. But, you know, I could imagine that I had a child of the same age as the offender and they can't get a job because Richard Branson's taking on all these ex-offenders. Again, covering himself in glory like Timmy with the eco flag. And I thought, well, give preference to, that's discrimination. I cannot agree with it on any level at all. Then, of course, when all this happened with the lockdown and it was, you know, if the government don't give me money, then I'm going to sack people. And I'm like, you've got more money than God to start with. What's the matter with you? So I've got no time for Richard Branson. I used to think he was great, but what an idiot. Take your opinions, Richard, and off you toddle with them. Kim has looked the Glazers up on Google. Commercial real estate people. Money people, but not football people. No. Hasn't Branson left the country after Brexit? You'd like to think so. Wasn't he on... he's got an island somewhere that he owns. So he's probably on his island tanning himself. I hope so. Jonathan says, don't find Richard Branson as brilliant as he once was. In the 80s, he seemed to have a kind of energy about him and was doing the right thing for people. But I don't see how. You know, if he said, I'm only going to take white people on, that would be wrong. I'm only going to take black people on. That would be wrong. So why is it not wrong that he's only taking on ex-cons? So people who have never done anything wrong in their life can't get a job. No, Richard. Shark jumped. Bye. Oh, dear. Though Dee said it would make sense just to try and not be biased against them rather than making a broad rule. Exactly. Judge each person for the job one at a time. That's what I agree with. There should be no prejudice one way or the other. There should be no distinction in wages either. But that wasn't what he was suggesting. I was thinking, I wonder if there's some backhander going on here. Is there some kind of government scheme if you hire offenders? I could understand that. So maybe he's holding his hand out for money.
Changing the subject, my friend Samantha, that I used to work with.
Yes.
She's posted on Facebook, my money is on the wee donkey.
Oh, that's a line of dutyism. You know, last week, Mike has never seen an episode of Line of Duty to save his life. I don't think it's really his thing. But last week, that quote, there was a quote from one of the top chaps, and he was getting exasperated, you know, with everything that was going on. And he's always saying Jesus, Mary and Joseph. And this time he turned away from the person he's talking to and he went, Jesus, Mary and Joseph and the wee donkey. Well, that was me gone. I just could not stop laughing. So I said to Mike, you've got to watch this. You've got to watch this. And if you've ever seen Line of Duty, they have this kind of thing, you know, and you'll get it at least 2 to 3 times a series where they have this really intense interview scene. And it was in this interview scene he was saying it. Well, it's disappeared, but the stuff's not here yet. But they're nearly here. They're just leaving the motorway. So I said to Mike, you've got to see this. So I put it on, and obviously I couldn't find just that bit. So I said, it's a really intense interview scene. And I wind it back about 30 seconds. Well, his eyes start glazing over at this scene that's going on. And then I said, wait for it. And then Ted paused and Ted did his Teddism. Mike was laughing. But the thing was, it was a good job that I did make him watch that little bit because it was all over Facebook. And one of his friends had put something on Facebook and then put the wee donkey. And Mike said, I wouldn't have had a clue what he was talking about if you hadn't have said. So it's wee donkey night. Oh, Tracy's got lettuce. Look at this, a mini harvest of lettuce.
You've been a good girl.
She's panting on with herself, but generally she's been a good girl. She did make an appearance at the end of this afternoon's show. Oh, that looks gorgeous. Now, that's what you call lettuce, Tracy. Not this anemic stuff that they keep sending us. That looks beautiful. I'm on my way. That does look beautiful.
What's wrong with the lettuce I get?
Nothing. It can just be a little bit on the anemic side, can't it?
Right. Well, that's what happens when someone else chooses your lettuce for you.
That's very true.
Personal shopper.
Oh, dear. See, picked 10 minutes ago. Ours could have been picked about 3 years ago, and then they freeze dry them. Simon says, to be fair, hang on, where's it gone? It's jumped again. To be fair, I can't find anything that says Richard Branson gives precedence to ex-offenders. This was years ago. only that he's encouraging his recruitment people to consider them rather than rule them out on that alone. No, this was years ago, and he did some kind of speech on it. It could have been at a Tory party conference. And I'm sure you sit glued to those, Simon. But he actually said it, that he'd be giving precedence to, which I just thought was wrong. I wouldn't rule anybody out on any grounds. I mean, like this business the other night with that Noel Clark, he is actually, at the moment, innocent. You know, he's not actually been charged with anything. And people are saying, that's it, his career's over. And his career is over, to be honest. In light of the Me Too thing, his career probably is over. But I would always say, you know, he hasn't been convicted yet, If somebody has been convicted and they're coming out the other end, you know, yeah, they've served their time. And of course, they stand as much chance of getting a job as anybody else, but no more and no less. Otherwise, we're not equal. And I just think that you should be equal. Ted mentioned something about Grandma's nightgown in Series 3 and it cracked me up. I remember that one. I do remember that one. He comes out with some absolute classics. He really does. And you know, it's quite difficult to deliver a line like that. You've got to get it just right, haven't you? Just right. Where's the little... Oh, where have they scooted over there to? They're now at the golf club. He's still one stop away and has been for the last 40 minutes. But he's at Sale Golf Club now. This is so exciting, following him. Oh... Why don't we get a vegetable patch? Oh, Jonathan.
Because I could have been out and back by now.
I know you could, Mike, but we didn't know that, did we? So calm down, take a chill pill. A vegetable patch. Does it count if it's full of weeds? I don't think it does. We could do, but, you know, then everything might die. And as Renee points out, doesn't go well with 12 Show Friday. Yeah, that's very true. That would mean leaving the house. Getting to the garden. He's now in Northenden. Where's he going? Northenden is up Princess Parkway. He's coming off the motorway and heading to the airport. I hope this first delivery he's gotten isn't in Paris or somewhere. Unless he's totally lost. Because he's miles away now. He's the other side of Bagley. And he's got to come because he's got my pineapple juice. And I need my pineapple juice. Trial by media. It is. The thing is, I can understand it up to a point, because those 20 women that have accused him, the sheer fact that there's 20 of them, you think, must be something in it then. Without the Me Too movement, they would never have said anything. One of the things that's come out that is a fact, because I think they've got video of it, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear, was that he used to run acting classes for some organisation. And in one of them, he said to the people, we'll do an improv session. So I want you to take your clothes off and imagine you're going to bed. Now, there was no information about whether they were all women, whether it was mixed, whether it was for children. I've no idea. But, and I know there's this like trust element that has to go on. In stuff like that. And we've been to enough sessions at our local theatres to understand all that. But that's not good. They now will not work with him again. But I have to question, well, why were you working with him in the first place? And how much of this did you know? How much of this did you know was going on before all this came out? I think it's incredibly brave of anybody to come out, because your first thought is you're not going to be believed. I totally get that. That you're not going to be believed. And in a way, that makes it worse, because then you've got to reprocess other people's opinions of you. It must be horrific to actually have to go through it all again. But, you know, when he comes out and says, well, I'm going to get help now. You don't need help. You need a pair of garden shears and I'm happy to do it for you. You don't just come out like that as though it's some kind of like, oh, well, I drank, you know, I've been drinking a bit too much. I'll go to therapy. Do you really need therapy to treat other people equally? To treat other people as you would deem to be treated yourself. I can't understand that. And, you know, they gave him that BAFTA, didn't they? Not that long ago. Surely somebody in the industry must have known, because, you know, the stories that I've read, and I know The Guardian is still banging on about it, is that it was an open secret. And I'm thinking, this is Jimmy Savile all over again. I remember with Jimmy Savile, I don't think my mother knew anything. She just didn't take to him at all. And it was like, oh, but Mum, what could I do when Jim will fix it? She said, no, you're not doing Jim will fix it. So when it all came out, it was more like, I never did like him. Was my mother. Oh, there wasn't many people that she tolerated. It looks like he's coming this way from Bagley. So he's gone out of his way by about 6 miles so far to come back over here. Do you know what's concerning with this? He's got ice cream in the car. So I wouldn't like to say what state that'll be in when he finally does get here. I know, when would I have time to tend a garden? I wouldn't, would I? No. It's all going to have to be concrete. Tracy's encouraging us to grow our own lettuce. How long does it take, Tracy? So from planting whatever you need to plant, do they hatch from eggs or do you plant seeds? See how naive I am. Yeah, well, either way, how long does it take from planting it to getting a lettuce? You see, if it's going to be too long, I'm going to lose interest halfway through. But if it's quite quick, you never know. Never know, might actually get you to do some of that. Oh, what's this if I get a balcony? Jonathan, are you moving? Are you thinking of moving? Maybe you could grow them inside. Mike's mum's got a balcony. That's not a bad idea. She's got two, actually, one on either side. So that's not a bad idea. Maybe I shall suggest it and she can do it. Can grow herbs in the window. I did do cress once and it did grow and I did eat it. And I was quite impressed with my little self. I was probably about 6. And I haven't done it since. Found other things to do. They sell square metre gardens, Renee. Wow. Nice way to grow stuff on the balcony. See, we haven't got a balcony. We have got a roof on the extension. No balcony, though. But the back garden's south-facing, so that does get lots of sun when it's sunny and rain for the rest of the year. So the back garden might not be a bad idea. We'll have to think about that. Let's catch up here. Oh, Jonathan tried that once. The wind blew them off. Very bad words were said. Is it easy to just have them delivered, Mike, and be Jonathan, and be done with it? Just have everything delivered. Thing is, when they run out of stuff, and I put a tick in the box that say do not substitute. So last week, I wanted to try some... It was ice cream, and it was strawberry and vanilla. Now, mainly it was vanilla, and there was this like strawberry streak running through it. So I thought, try that. So last night I said, I'm going to try that ice cream, the strawberry one. So Mike brings up this plastic tub with ice cream in it. And I said, not that one, that's the cart door. So he toddles off. He comes back and he says, this is what they brought last week. I said, that's not what I ordered. But because I didn't take it in, Mike did. He didn't know that wasn't what I'd ordered, but that wasn't what I ordered. So they must have substituted it. So I wish they wouldn't do that. But yeah, I think having everything delivered is a jolly good idea. Right. In Kim's opinion, if women don't like actions by men, they need to tell them straight on. Totally agree. But there is that thing of if it's equal, you know, if somebody's trying it on with you, fine. But if they're in a position where you are younger or less experienced in the business, the power thing isn't equal. And if you, particularly in acting, if you were to say to somebody, no, I'm not doing that, you get a reputation of being difficult. And then people won't work with you. Very much in acting, it seems to be based on. I was talking to this actor and he'd got all these letters. So when they do a TV show, they get a letter from the director thanking them and saying how easy they were to work with. And he said, oh, that's really important. You know, you've got to show those to get a job. So everybody's judging everybody else. You know, if you don't do what's expected, then the worst thing is not to not get a reference. It's the fact that around the business, you'll be said to be difficult to work with and then you won't get any work anyway. It's all too, I couldn't be doing without. Don't like it. Jonathan agrees. Scares me that there are men out there like that who could be coming face to face with my mother or sister. I've got a sneaking suspicion, Jonathan, that your mother would handle it. I don't know about your sister, but your mother would handle it very well. It is difficult, but I agree. You just got to go out and do it. Hang on. This is shooting by. I guess there's been some progression on victims coming out. Jimmy Savile was dead before people started to tell their stories. But you see, he had police on side with him, which is actually in one of the Line of Duty series. He actually had police on side. So even if you told your story, you weren't going to be listened to. This is a heavy show. We went from protests and riots, clash issues. Me too, and now on to balconies and herbs. Anything goes on a marooned. Anything. Kim says, Johnny, I hate to tell you, I do not know a woman who has not been sexually harassed in some form or another. We need to teach women to stand up to these men and report them. Sometimes it can be incredibly innocuous, but it depends on how the woman in question reacts. So I went to this company. I was probably around 20, 21. And I wear skirts, not trousers. I wear skirts. And my skirts are quite long as well. We are not talking mini skirts. No. And I was at this company and this guy was there. And I didn't know until he said, I mean, how would you know this? Right. He wandered in and I'm sat on an office chair and I'm answering the phone. Right. And there was No, why?
Somebody's pulled up across the road.
Well, it could be them, but according to the map, no. But if they're much longer, this ice cream's going to be liquid.
That's what I'm thinking.
Which is utterly... So check the ice cream. If it's too watery, you know, if it would be refreezing...
Send it back.
According to this, they're in Bagley and they've been one stop away all the while they've been going. But if they're coming in a car, then the ice cream's going to be a nightmare.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't refreeze very well, does it?
No.
Anyway, you carry on watching. So I'm telling you about this bloke. So there was a lull in the incoming calls and we sat there. And the next minute he stood right next to me. And he's like, when a lady sits down with a long skirt, it kind of drops down. So it was covering my ankles. This skirt was that long, which is like how I like it. He actually reached down and pulled it back and said, nice ankles. I just laughed in his face. Really? Yeah, you've got an ankle fetish. But, you know, some woman could really have set... I mean, they may have had a previous incident. That could set them off. I told him to get a grip of himself and to leave my ankles alone. But, you know, yeah, I totally agree with Kim. I don't know many women who have managed to get to any stage in life without a comment, a look, somebody grabbing you, somebody... the wolf whistling. Do you have wolf whistling in the States? That's a thing over here, and it's so creepy. But yeah, you'll get guys, particularly like workmen who are out on a site, on scaffolding outside a building, and they will wolf whistle at women going past. Do these guys realise that we think you are complete muppets? Because they just keep doing it. But I think it's more of an animalistic catcalling between themselves of like, there's one worth looking at. Not thinking how you might feel about that, but that happens all the time. And I think I told you when I was going to Old Trafford on my own, when I left the ground, I would walk on as close to the road as possible rather than as close to the wall near the pavement because it's not safe. It isn't safe. And I think every woman knows that. People are just weird, men in particular. I'm sure Johnny's mum and sister can really look after themselves. But yeah, it's not nice, and particularly not if they're in a position of power. Oh, Renee's got a roof terrace. A square metre garden and grew strawberries. Oh, but the birds. Oh, no. An apple grow bag. Oh, we did have a grow bag when we moved in here and we grew some strawberries. Oh, Tracy, I managed to grow a strawberry. Not strawberry, tomato. Tomato we did, and then we put some strawberries in it. But that was all we ever did, and it was a grow bag. 2 months to grow a full lettuce. But you can pick and come again, taking the outer leaves. Oh, that's an idea. That's a long time, though, isn't it? Jonathan, there's a job for you. We need to teach men not to be, and we need a bleep on there in the first place. I don't know whether men just don't know. And then you've got the problem with women and this is a woman's problem, right, where they encourage the men. They like being wolf whistled at. You know, there are ladies who do like it. There are, I would say there are more who don't, but there are some that do, and they kind of flirt back, and then that just encourages them. I think the last time that happened with me, there was a van outside. So wherever I was walking past and getting the wolf whistles, there was a van. So I took a picture of it. So we had the phone number on it. That stopped them in their tracks. Plant every 2 weeks to have succession plants. Oh, Tracy, this is getting complicated. I'm going to need an ocean table for this. Men are mostly taught that. But we have guys like this who abuse 20 plus. It's sad. It is sad. I just, you know, there are places where women are as bad. That was on the TV once and I was horrified. It was like a sewing factory, a machine factory, when the women was on the sewing machines. And there was a young guy came in to do something and they ended up debagging him. So these women got him on one of the tables where they were cutting up the fabric and whipped his pants off. And you're thinking, on what planet? But in that situation, the women had more power than the man, because there was only one of him. There was nobody protecting him, and that he was outnumbered. So yeah, that was a thing in the UK, debagging, whipping his pants off. Oh, dear, dear me. Wrong in every way. Tell me about it. Oh. Okay, it started for me when I was 12. Can you imagine? I look like a boy. You call them cat calls. Ah, we call it wolf whistling. But it's so annoying. Tracy says, too much of a tomboy, too ugly to get wolf whistles. You are not ugly, Tracy. You are a beautiful person and that shines out. No, no, no. We're not having any of this ugly business. I wouldn't say I was an oil painting, but whatever. You know, I don't think half the time they're even paying attention. It's their macho-ness that there's a pretty woman and I've got to wolf whistle because they're not being taught any different. Maybe in the future it'll be different. I honestly don't know. We have a thing in British schools now teaching. There's two pervasive things that happen. So one, so you've got your usual subjects. You've got your English, maths, reading, French, history. But you have some pervasive subjects that have to feed through all of the other subjects. One is a growth mindset. So they actually do growth mindset exercises in all of the classes. And the other is British values. And British values is, it's actually hard to pin down, but they would address things, well, not address them as in this is sexism, so don't do that. They would try and get them at an early age not to be sexist or racist or homophobic. So the British values is like everybody's welcome kind of thing. Now, in a Catholic school, that's a nightmare because the bishop is the bishop is like, yeah, no, we're not having any of this. We've got two mummies and two daddies business. So it can be actually really difficult. But they still have to persist with it because it's a government requirement. And the bishop, whether he likes it or not, has to just put up with it. So the idea is that there's no bullying because they are taught from an early, early age. But I mean, you'd have to catch them really early. And where does it come from? Any isms that they've got. And it's either at home or it's at school. So the schools are trying to work on the fact, let's stop the isms before they start. Another thing that they have to do, and that is by government insistence, is that the teachers have to go on courses to spot terrorists before they become terrorists. So, you know, like radicalisation, they have to know what to look out for to see children being radicalised, which is just like sad. What a world we live in. What a world we live in. Oh, Kim, I've had several men expose themselves to me when I was in school. Well, we you know, we've had the one round the park, the one that the guy had the Staffordshire Bull Terrier on. Good job he had a Staffy, isn't it? But I just think with that, I know they could escalate at any point, but I think I'd just laugh. You know, what kind of idiot? I don't see what they get from that. I really don't. Unless they want a kind of reaction of like fear. I don't know. But I cannot see what men get from that. Oh, especially not the one around the corner with the staffy. Won't be doing it again. Oh, G said she was watching a comedy show last night with Peter Kay, walking through the audience with banter, and one of the women grabbed his backside as a joke and he laughed. And when he met another woman in the audience, he gave her a kiss. Both incidents could be seen as horrible in one scenario and in this were funny. You're right. A lot of it depends on how you react to it. But I think many years ago, you were kind of taught that your reaction had to be put a brave face on it, keep smiling, keep smiling. The reaction now seems to be, I've got mental health issues. How many people do you now hear that, I mean, over here we have a saying, which is the snowflake culture, which is means basically like, you know, don't offend me, I'm easily offended. There's a bit of a backlash against that at the moment. But yeah, in certain circumstances, something can be seen as funny, and yet in another circumstance, not. What, I can't remember which one, but there was somebody in a pop group. Was it Harry Styles? They were doing some kind of concert and the fans were really close at the front. And somebody reached over and was incredibly inappropriate with him, grabbed him in a most unfortunate place. And you're thinking, what makes you think that you can do that? That is just shocking on any level. And he was seen like, and there wasn't just one girl trying this. There was more than one. And he could be seen like trying to push the hands away. Just so inappropriate. And I know it's happened with women stars as well. And then you wonder why you can't get close, why you end up like 3 metres away. On the way.
She's asleep.
She might be asleep. Let me have a look. Heading up Brooklands Road now. I have no idea because they've said they're one stop away. But you're going to have to check the ice cream, aren't you?
Yeah.
They might have it in bags in the back. I don't know. At the junction of Brooklands with Marslands Road. There you go. Right near the tram stop.
So about 10 minutes.
Should we tell Mum to have a word? Because they're right next to the cemetery. If she could just have a word with them, get them on the
way. We walked there this morning.
I seem to have acquired a persistent cough. No, don't panic.
Can you
yet.
Smell?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Can you taste?
Yes.
Oh, it's probably all the talking
Renee
you've done.
Renee says, a shame for fellow guys when you hear that. It's appalling. Night, Jonathan. In America, they've had more deaths by lawnmowers in the last 15 years than terrorists. Good grief, what are they doing with the lawnmowers? Oh, you have snowflakes! Oh, fantastic. People get triggered if you look at something, they get triggered. If you don't look at someone, they get triggered. Yeah, pretty much. A snowflake, I would say here, is somebody who is incredibly sensitive and takes offence at everything that's said and done. I'll give you an example. Because of these snowflakes, right, there's a head teacher, and you know, I'm sure you all remember this at school. Well, you go to school and in the morning, it will be good morning, children, or good morning, boys and girls. I mean, we had that for years. I don't have anything wrong with good morning, boys and girls, do you? Not allowed to use the term boys and girls anymore. I thought, why not? I'm clearly naive. Another one that was banned, this was suggested by some Australian academics, which was you shouldn't call Mum and Dad. And I thought, what are you supposed to call them? Primary caregiver and secondary caregiver. I thought, but how on earth do you teach a child that? You're going to need to talk to my primary caregiver. I can't see a kid saying that. It's like, oh, I want my mum. No, I want my primary caregiver. Yeah, you're not allowed to use the term Mum and Dad anymore in some schools. Now, we do say, with the governorship, we have looked after children. You don't say children in care. You say looked after children. You don't say kids. You say children. You're not allowed to say headmistress and headmaster. It's head teacher. Of course, in my day, it wasn't. In my day, it wasn't. But they're very, very particular in how things are addressed. And yes, we do have the term caregiver and primary caregiver. But, you know, if a child wants to say, I want my mum, you wouldn't be saying like, you're not allowed to say that. That's just like, really? There's like no context given for when it's appropriate and when it's not appropriate. The idea with the boys and girls thing, is to dissuade these children from using, like, I don't even know how you would classify these phrases. Phrases like grow a pair, which is seen as like expecting boys to be macho and putting on unrealistic expectations on boys. And I thought, women have had unrealistic expectations on them for years. But now it's getting to the point that people are actually saying it, to the point that, you know, you're very careful in what you can and can't say, which it's quite sad, because I think if somebody doesn't mean any harm, it might make them look a little dated. I mean, I'm thinking of my gran. In my gran's day, people of colour were called coloured people. And when you have to try and explain that that's not acceptable anymore, and now it has to be people of colour, she gets confused. She would not mean any harm, but I guarantee you, if my gran was here today, she would say, no, they're coloured people. Yet, gran, they were in 1950. They're not anymore. But she wouldn't mean any harm. And she had this neighbour who was very black. They loved each other to pieces. So she certainly, if she said anything like that, did not mean any harm. And the neighbour knew that. There was context with the words. But now everything's like a dictionary definition. And you cannot say this, you cannot say that. There are words that you just cannot say, irrespective of the context. I know there are words that I definitely wouldn't say in any context, but there are other words that are less offensive, but all of a sudden you can't say it. And it's sad. I think it's really sad. It's best to be marooned. It's always best to be marooned. Alex, if someone exposes themselves, best to say no thanks or smoke me own. I think if you could just lighten the situation, I think you could just diffuse it. But I do appreciate there are ladies in particular who would freak out, and you have to take the person as you find them. So just because I could laugh something off or whatever, it doesn't mean that everybody can, nor does it mean that everybody should. Everybody should have the right to you know, go out to the park and not be flashed at. You shouldn't have to think of, this is my strategy if I am. It shouldn't be like that. Getting rid of genders will not end well in years to come. The kids are just going to be confused, aren't they? They'll be confused. And yet, you know, the thing I don't understand with the gender business, right, is, if gender is so, like, everything's got to be gender neutral, what's with these gender reveal parties? They're huge. You know, you can spend £5,000 on a gender reveal party. What for? As long as it's healthy, does it matter? Apparently so. So that's all right, because people are making money out of it. But anything else with gender, no, you're not allowed to mention that. Growing a pair is said to girls here as well. It is here. I mean, I use that phrase. How many times do I tell Timmy to grow a pair? He won't come on MacBites, won't Timothy? So grow a pair, Timmy, and come on MacBites. I don't mean that that's like, that means no slight as far as I'm concerned. It's a saying that's just, and the other saying they're not allowed to use, grow a pair was one and the other was man up. And you know, it's because it's toxic masculinity. I know all the phrases, don't I? You mustn't have toxic masculinity. And I'm like, but it's just, it's a phrase that's a short. Yeah,
it's like big girl's blouse.
Oh yeah, big girl's blouse. That's what my dad said that all the time. And you run like a girl. Yeah. And I do agree, taken in isolation, the words themselves, but you've got to apply some kind of context and meaning to it. If my dad said to me something like, when I was doing his cables for him, you're doing that like a big girl's blouse, I'd have shoved the cable where the sun didn't shine. He wouldn't have said it twice. I would have taken offence at that. But, you know, if it's something like, oh, good grief, and he played that match like a big girl's blouse, I wouldn't take offence at that. It's a shorthand way of saying to me, God, he was useless. That's the context of it. There's no sexism or anything like that intended with it. It's just a shorthand to say that he played badly. It was bad. But, you know, they don't provide the context, and then you've got a problem with it. Political correctness is so stupid, don't tell me about it. Oh, you're not allowed to call people criminals now. justice involved person. Oh, dear, that's bad. That is bad. A justice involved person, I would think, was a lawyer. Mind right, you, the two aren't mutually exclusive, are they? Now, Deb had a bloke 6 years ago threaten her. Oh, no, that's not good. Got into the hot tub. He was over 6 foot, leaned over me with an arm on each side. You couldn't move and stayed there. Recorded a camera and got him kicked out the club trying to intimidate you. What is wrong with these people? I mean, that's bad on any level, isn't it? Where are you? Come on. Oh, treat. Oh, you want to see the treat first? Right. She's got her Kim approved dentist stick, so all's good now. All's good. Oh, dear me. Training your unconscious bias is such a big thing now. That's true, but I always think with that, it's like, they say soon, Mike, they're heading down the avenue.
Right.
You are next, it says. But heaven knows where they've been, round the houses. I always think with something like the training in unconscious bias, it's like, we've got this course, unconscious bias. Let's get more and more and more people on it, and then we'll get more money for it. It's a bit like the companies, you know, when you've got your done speeding, you can either take the points or you can go on a course. They are privately funded companies that are taking government money to run them. So similar with these unconscious bias things, it's just a way to make money as far as I'm concerned. Morality seems to be more about the result of what you do rather than the intention these days. Puritanical. It is, yeah, you're right. Deb, that just should not have happened on any level. There is something wrong with people. Oh, and poor Renee's wife still bears the emotional scars. It is, it can be. I think it just depends on how you react. And the other thing is, not just how you react in the moment, but how you react down the line. You know, do you keep going over it? I should have done this, I should have done that. Everybody should have the right just to live their lives and not be bothered by other people. I mean, we're talking really serious stuff here. But it's the same I find when you go shopping. And then you come to the checkout and it's like you like your peas, don't you? With everybody in the queue admiring what's in your basket.
Yeah, I have that off Wendy.
You do get that off Wendy, actually. But, you know, my mum really found that bad. It was less with her kind of female intimidation and just she was quite shy, my mum, and she didn't want what was in her basket being drawn attention to. So why don't people just talk about the weather and not discuss what's in her basket? Because that bothered her. It wouldn't have bothered me. The day I went to complain, it was because I was buying stuff for her. And I thought, if people like me, who have got the big brass balls, there's another one, to complain, don't complain, then people like my mum are going to come home and she internalised it. And be like, what's the matter? What's the matter? The worst time with that, she went to the bank. Your salary and pensions and stuff was paid into the bank. The only place she ever got money was the bank.
Is that them?
It could be. It says it'll be here soon.
There's a car just popped up.
Right, well, I'll leave you to deal with it, Mike. What's he like? He's like an expectant father. Anyway, she went to the bank. It was the only place she ever got money from. So she drew the money out from the bank and she went shopping with it. And one of these shops said to her, this isn't a genuine £20 note. And my mum was like, what? She got it from the bank. Now, what they should actually have done legally was take it off her and destroy it. But, you know, £20, and this was a good few years ago, was a lot of money. So luckily, they gave it back to her. Anyway, she came home and she just wasn't right. And about 3 days later, I said, Mum, what is the matter? And she sat down and she told me what had happened. And she said, I felt so violated that I was a criminal, that I was trying to pass off, you know, fake money. And I'm like, Mum, that wasn't your fault. It was from the bank. But it really, really bothered her. You know, she stood in the queue and somebody says to her, this isn't real. You know, you're trying to pass fake money. That's really bad. So you have to take some people that they'll internalise it later as well. So it isn't even exactly what's said. Let's just all be kind to each other. That would be good. But you, Renee, tell your wife we love her. We do. We love Anita. She's one of the family, whether she's in here or not. She's safe in here. Right, let me get this scrolling. It's scrolling the wrong way yet again. Right, got it, I think. There we go. Tracy says, I've always used big girl's blouse as the synonym for crybaby or wimp. Exactly, no matter what the gender. It's an English saying and there's nothing wrong with that. There isn't. Oh, dear. Deb had a boy in the 8th grade when he was a kid. Used a word that was defamatory towards your mother and I punched him in the nose and slammed him against the wall. He never bothered me again. Way, Deb! My mum was quite shy coming to school. We were in a class and you could look out of the window and they didn't let you out of the classroom until they could see your mum at the gate. And mum was like, I really don't like going to the gate and being looked at out the window. So 30 kids staring out the window. There's my mum. There's my mum. And she was really quite shy with that. She really was. So I get that. I get that. There was a guy at college with me where my bike had got stolen. And he made a crack about, haven't you found where I put it yet? And I was that wound up, you know, about the fact that my bike had been stolen and my mum and dad had paid for that. And I felt so bad about it. And he was making a joke out of it. I don't think I thought for one minute he had actually hidden it or something, because the lock had been actually broken. The lock had been like wire cutters and clipped off. So I didn't think it was him, but I was so wound up and I thought that's just not funny. That's not funny. That I picked him up and I threw him against a fence. So I'm like, do you think that's funny? So I picked him up by I'm quite strong, by the way. So I picked him up by the collar with one hand and I pushed him on this fence. The thing I hadn't anticipated was the fence collapsed and he went clean through it. But you know what? After that, we were great friends. He said, I'm really sorry. You know, you taught me something. I'm really sorry. So when he apologised, we were good mates. Good mates after that. But again, you know, I don't particularly suffer fools well, as you probably twig. But I really, that's why I'm so protective of other people. My best friend was so shy and she wouldn't say anything. You'd say something to her and it really offended her. She wouldn't say anything. And I would step in because I thought, I know she's not going to say anything. Just like my mum. Like when the Macmillan, we have a charity here called Macmillan. Macmillan Charity something or other, a cancer charity. Useless. This was the one where my mum was on the phone. She'd been on the phone for about an hour and they were just screaming at her and I could hear them. And when I walked in, that was happening. But my mum was quite feisty. Although she was shy, she wouldn't want me to take over because that was like saying she couldn't handle it. And I had to sit there and my fingers are digging into my palms. And in the end, I just stood up and I mouthed to her, I'm sorry. And I just snatched the phone off her and saw this woman and knew what. And when I slammed the phone down and said, ring me back when you can do something. And when I slammed the phone down, she nearly started crying and she said, thank you. I just couldn't cope with it. And again, you're back to just treat people as you would like to be treated. Let's do that. Oh, there's another one. Put on your big boy pants. I'd forgotten that one. Oh, good grief. These are fantastic. It's not sexist, though. It's not. Oh, dear. Kim's enjoying Danny and his breakfasts. Deb had brothers and they taught us girls how to fist fight for self-defence. Weren't allowed ever to start a fight and try to walk away. But if they were trying to hurt us, we could defend ourselves. That's brilliant. Love that. Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Tracy got a false €50 from a cash machine once. Took it to the bank, same bank, 3 days later, Friday afternoon, detected Saturday and they replaced it. Yeah, I took it in to the bank and I knew they'd have to take it off, you know, take it off you technically. And there's no obligation to have it replaced. But I said to them, you know, my mum's nearly 80. She only gets money from one place. Where else would she get money? You know, she's not going to get it in a wage packet. I said, she comes in and she gets it here. So then what I did after that, they did give it to me because I wasn't leaving till they did. Because there's my business account, my second business account, 3 other accounts, Mike's accounts and mum and dad's accounts. And they were all in jeopardy. You know, I would be prepared to move all these accounts. So they swapped this £20 note. But after that, I went on Amazon. And I got Mum a light. I don't know what they're called now, but like a black light thing. A purple light thing. So I said, right, I've shown her how to use it. I said, you turn it on here. I said, and you waft it over the money. I said, and if it's not genuine, you know, this bit won't light up and the rest of it. She was like, this is like magic. And she sat there with the money that she took out of the bank. There she is swiping it with this light, wafting the light over it. So I said, well, the next time we go into the bank, I said, I'm coming with you. So we went into the bank and she said, you know, I've come to draw some money out. So I said, can we have a private room, please? We want to check the money. And the woman went, pardon. So I said, last time, you know, there was fake money in it. I said, and this is the only place that Mum gets money. I said, I'm not putting her through it again. I said, so can you draw the money out, give it to Mum and give her a private room? And when she's finished checking the money, she will leave. And the woman was like, yeah, okay. Because I said, otherwise, you're actually peddling fake money, which is illegal. So they gave her this private room. And after that, you know, they treated her so well. It was amazing. Oh, good morning, Mrs. Giles. Right, OK, we'll cash that cheque for you. Here's the money in the envelope. Your room's over there. Would you like a coffee? It was like a bloody morning coffee meeting. But, you know, that's how you had to be. Oh, dear, that's shocking, Tracy. I'm glad they replaced it for you. Oh, dear, dear, dear. Maybe that's why I was drawn to the law. Probably, you know, probably. A black light, yeah, one of those, or a UV, one of those. But you know, it worked really well. Because obviously we had this fake 20 to run it over, like, oh yes, that's not real. But she never got another one, which I thought, I wouldn't be surprised if the bank hadn't tightened up. But I tell you what, it was a good fake. If you knew what you were looking for, then yes, it didn't have the line in it. We have like a silver line in it, and it didn't have that. But other than that, it didn't look like something that had been printed on an inkjet. I can assure you, it was pretty good. And I think if it had been a little bit more damaged, a little bit more knocked about, you might not even have checked. Now, for £20 notes in the UK, they do check now. But there was a time when they didn't. But they don't really check £5 notes much. Mind you, they're rubber now. The £5 and the £10 are rubber. And the 20s are going that way, I believe. They're like a plasticky. They're supposed to be indestructible. And you know what happens as soon as something's indestructible? People started putting them through washing machines just to see if they were. And apparently they are in a washing machine, but you can mangle them. Oh, it could only happen here, really. Ah, the bank must have had a spate of false bills. I mean, how did the bank not know? Because when you take money in to be counted, they weigh it. So, you know, we take a lot in from the church. So you've got like this huge bag of coins and we put on the bag what's in each one, and each bag gets weighed. And if one isn't right, it'd be like, no, there's something in there that's not right. And then you have to take it out and go through it again. So you would imagine with notes, they'd be even more careful and they should instantly know, but clearly don't. So there you go. Oh, that was an amazing chat tonight, wasn't it? We went all over everywhere and we put the worlds to rights. So I'll let you know when the game is, poor Mike. That'll be interesting in next week's Week at Mike Bites headquarters. That never happened. The game never happened. I am heading off to book club. So I will give you details of book club as well. See what goes on in there. But for the moment, how is Mike? Is he still expecting? No, it's arrived. He's downstairs organising it now. So I'll get the skinny on that when he appears back up here. But for the moment, I'm going to say goodnight from me, and I will say goodnight from Mike. And we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.